better. Now, live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pags Show.
This is the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 800-383-9624 or go to joepags.com. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hey, great radio stations across the land, iHeartRadio, joepags.com. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all right there. Also, the live stream for the first hour. Joe Pags Show coming your way on a Friday. Really? On a Friday. Is it just not going to do it? Gary, is that what's going to happen today?
I guess so. Let's go.
Friday. Wow. What the heck is going on? All right, where's that horn section? Bring it. Sorry, that was me. Carrie.
No, that was not me.
What day is it anyway? Where's Bob Guthrie? Let's go.
Friday.
Uh-huh. Thank God it's...
Thank God it is Friday.
Yes, it is.
Friday.
Uh-huh. Thank God it's...
Thank God it is Friday.
What the heck? Let's make it a free speech Friday. Let's go.
Free speech Friday.
Freedom. Freedom. Say what? Free now. That is Carrie Lucky, my news anchor. And in my rear end.
Mm-hmm.
How's it going, by the way? You all right?
I'm fine. It's Friday.
You're all bedazzled today, huh? What is?
I know.
How do I get a shirt like
I'm
that?
Sparkly. Like my personality.
What is that all about? I'm so girly today.
Like that's
a bad
thing?
I couldn't make that shirt work, could I?
No, you could not. Sorry.
I don't think so. Only if I got it in a medium. And showed off the masculinity.
Yeah,
like
no.
A medium.
Don't do that,
yeah,
please.
I could possibly do that.
No.
There's a lot going on today. Lots that I want to get to. I do not have any interviews today, kind of on purpose. I mean, I was almost going to do one with Pastor John Hagee, who is in Israel. And with the time difference, it just wasn't going to be able to work out. But I have it on good authority. I'll have him on Monday or Tuesday from Israel. And, of course, the embassy is moving to Jerusalem right now. Iran is lobbing, you know, missiles into the Golan Heights. So there's a lot going on there. We'll talk to the pastor next week. But we're going to do a lot of phone calls today. There are a lot of very interesting stories going on that I certainly want to get to, and we'll talk about them. I want to start with, and again, although this is San Antonio intensive, this, I believe, does play nationally because there are a lot of little fiefdoms being built in cities across the nation. And it's important that you see what's happening in San Antonio, which is in Bexar County, which tends to be a reddish county, but the city of San Antonio is blue. And you've got a mayor now who really believes that he's some sort of a dictator. It's weird that he's making decisions behind closed doors. The Open Meetings Act doesn't mean anything to him. And they're making decisions about what convention should come or shouldn't come. And Carrie, you hear they're gonna refurbish City Hall now.
Yes, we did a story about that yesterday.
So maybe I'm missing something. So I'm going to sort of set the groundwork here. The Republican National Committee made it clear that they had seven favorite spots in mind for the 2020 Republican National Convention. The Republican National Convention was in a blue city, was in Cleveland in 2016. And the city and the surrounding areas brought in $300 million in revenue. It cost anywhere from $60 to $80 million to put it on. So let's say the net was about $220, $230 for the city. It's a ton of money. San Antonio and this mayor and this city council, and the mayor's name is Ron Nirenberg, he's got to be one and done. He's just a horrible mayor. Might be a nice guy. Seems like a family man. Really, really bad mayor. He fought against SB 4, which was the bathroom bill in Texas. That was where the bathrooms are reserved to the biological sex of the person using it. You remember that whole dust up, right?
Yes, I do.
The argument was, and correct me if I get any of this wrong, you're the news person.
Okay.
The argument by Ron Nirenberg, horrible mayor, and the rest of the city council was that people will not bring their conventions to San Antonio if we have this bathroom law, this bathroom bill passes. Mm-hmm. People will not bring their conventions. We will be losing billions of dollars in conventions. We have to keep on being open and inviting to conventions. I mean, that was an argument, right?
Yes, it was.
We just had the final four here. Do you know how much it cost to put on the final four?
I don't know. I don't know the price.
I don't know either. But the argument that Ron Nirenberg, horrible mayor, got to be one and done. The argument that he's making and others on the city council who are far left-wing little fiefdom totalitarian idiots, their argument is it's going to cost too much money for San Antonio to put on the RNC if the RNC chooses to come here. Now, maybe I'm missing something, but it allegedly would cost about $70 million. And you're like, well, that is a lot of money. Nirenberg's right. Well, yes, of course, $70 million is a lot of money. But if you're guaranteed to bring in $200 to $300 million, you just tripled or quadrupled your money, depending on how much you actually bring in. But he says he's not turning it away for political reasons. He's turning it away because it'll cost too much to put it on. Well, then why did you just have the Final Four? Why did you argue against SB4? Because if SB4 were in place, you said that people wouldn't bring conventions. They wouldn't bring big events. Either you want big events or you don't. The RNC is one of the biggest. So there's no real argument there. But in saying he doesn't want to spend the 70, and by the way, they did it in a closed door meeting, which is against the law. We'll see if the DA picks it up. If not, we'll see if the AG picks it up, the Attorney General, because that's a violation of law. In the same breath or in the same week, he's arguing why we shouldn't have one of the two biggest conventions, the other one being the Democrat convention in San Antonio. He's also announcing $38 million to refurbish City Hall. So more than half of the money it would cost, according to City Council, to bring the RNC here, and then the RNC, of course, then quadruples your money, or triples your money at least, in revenue for the city and for businesses. They're going to spend better than half of that amount. Kerry, what return do we get on our money if we spend $38 million refurbishing City Hall and the courthouse?
We don't.
What are you talking about? No, there's got to be some sort of return, right? No, why do you spend almost $40 million on that?
I don't think so. No.
What? So you're saying it would not generate revenue? It would just make it look nicer?
Yes.
Who are we making it look nicer for? The people standing trial? I'm not sure I get it.
I don't know.
Make Ron and his cohorts there in City Council feel more comfortable sitting in their chambers? Did they give a reason why they're doing it?
I can look at the story and I can tell you.
Yeah, do me a favor, do that. Yeah. So they're doing that to the tune of almost $40 million. They're saying no to the RNC that would cost about $70 million. Then you triple or quadruple your money. He argued against SB4 so more people would bring their conventions and events here, but not this one. One and done. Ron has got to go. Horrible mayor. And all these city council members that are on the same side as him, so whether it's Saldana or if it's Trevino, whoever it happens to be, got to go. Nelson Wolf, enough. Has to go. Enough. Tommy Calvert, who said that the food service workers would spike the mole and make people sick if the RNC were to come here, has to go. Listen, it's time for all cities USA to stand up and make your voices heard. Because if they don't have enough money to refurbish the city hall, they're going to try to pass some freaking millage or some tax on you. There's always some tax to refurbish the big, you know, the big event hall, big event center, whether it's the Alamo Dome or the AT&T Center, whatever it is. There's always some big tax that the people have to pay when you can actually have an influx of money into San Antonio, if they were lucky enough to get the convention, by vying for the RNC. Then you take that money and refurbish your city hall or refurbish your courthouse. Then you take that money and say, how can we spend this to beautify or make a new ballpark or whatever? Then now you have revenue coming in because you're a smart mayor and you're somebody who doesn't care about politics like this guy does. Again, keep in mind, he got into office and he made sure he painted a crosswalk rainbow colors because gay people didn't feel comfortable, I guess, walking at that crosswalk until we kissed up to them. That's what we were told. Basically, we want the gay people to feel included. Well, I'm straight. There is no crosswalk that is inviting to me, unless you're suggesting any crosswalk is a straight crosswalk, but you have to make the gay people feel good at the rainbow crosswalk. Seriously, are you gay? If you're gay, does that make you feel more comfortable to walk across some colors on the ground? Or is a crosswalk a crosswalk? And it doesn't matter who you like to have sex with. Come on. What are we talking about here? Oh, and then we had to take down the memorial, the commemorative memorial of the sacrifice made by Confederate soldiers in the Civil War. Whether you're for that or against that, it wasn't his to take. It was on private property, and it was owned by a private organization. Stole it in the dark of night. Used city taxpayer dollars to have the police there, standing guard to make sure that it went off without a hitch. Nobody knows where the statue is, and there was a time capsule that was in that statue or under it in the base. That's just missing now. And when you ask the city, hey, why don't you come on and talk about it? We're afraid of what PAGS might ask us. One and done. If you live in the city of San Antonio or any town USA, and you've got similar fiefdoms going on, little totalitarian governments going on, you need to vote their asses out. They're not the boss of you. This guy thinks he is. You're the boss of him. And he's got to go. And if you're in a similar situation where you've got ridiculous decisions that are being made by city council members that were voted by a puny, tiny number of votes, nobody votes in the mayor's race anymore. I don't live in the city of, so I can't vote. But you can. If you live in the city of, name your city USA, and you've got idiots that are running the city, stop complaining about it and do something about it. Vote that ass out. Vote that ass out. 1-800-383-9624, JoePags.com. We're back right after this. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Hey, it's Joe Pags. Another chance to win $1,000 is coming up, and it's right here on News Radio 1200 WOAI. Hi, great to have you. Welcome to the program. Thanks. The Joe Pags Show, 1-800-383-9624, JoePags.com. Which startles me is how not engaged people are, especially in a big city. I mean, San Antonio's not some small town. It's a big city. And people just aren't engaged. And what happens is the left and those who want total control over the people, like this guy Nirenberg, what they do is they wait till the last second, inject a bunch of money in ads, and then they push it over the top. And you only have a few people voting. I mean, it's really a small amount. Carrie, I don't want to be a pain in your ass, but I'm going to be anyway. Can you do me a favor and see if you can see exactly the number of people that voted in the last mayoral election in San Antonio?
Okay, I'll check it.
I mean, that compared to the population of the city, I'm going to tell you already, is going to be a minuscule number. But I want people who are listening, and this is across the nation, in any city USA, a very tiny minority of the people, of the population, of who can vote, actually go and vote. A tiny minority goes and votes. And that's not okay. At some point, you have to have your voice heard. Yeah, it's easy for me to sit up here on the radio and on television and complain about what's going on. Easy for me to preach to the choir, those of you who agree with me, who actually live in San Antonio. But you've got to ask yourself a question. Did I vote in the last mayoral race? And if I didn't, why not? Because we ended up, look, we had Ivy Taylor, who still a Democrat, but at least was reasonable. At least seemed to make sense. Now, I haven't talked to her about this, and I talked to her about, you know, a lot of things before. But I'm guessing she would have been smart enough to say, of course we want this kind of injection of money into San Antonio. Of course we want that. It would be ridiculous to say you don't want it. Especially when there was such a big stink made about how conventions won't want to come here if we have SB4. But now we're not even going to vie for conventions. But we'll say yes to the Final Four. We'll say yes to fill-in-the-blank convention. But we'll say no to one of the biggest that'll bring in hundreds of millions of dollars. Doesn't make sense. Now, Carrie was nice enough to go and get me the story that they were running yesterday. The idea of renovating City Hall started last year when Councilman Roberto Trevino, who's a very far leftist guy, he's got to be voted out too, who is an architect, pointed out that a 120-year-old building is completely out of compliance with the Americans with Disabilities Act, with only one entrance open to the disabled, which leads from the back to the building to a dingy basement room. Okay, fix that. Not going to cost you $38 million, but then they decided, let's renovate the whole damn thing. But the plan to renovate the facade of the building sprouted into a major effort to reconstruct much of the entire building, which includes cracked walls, leaky plumbing, inadequate public access to key offices. It'll also have to undergo asbestos abatement, which will require city officials to be moved out of the building during some of the construction. Okay, so now the whole thing's falling apart. The whole thing's a big piece of crap. Let's put $38 million into it. We'll get nothing in return. Fix the problem with disabilities and the disabled not being able to have access. Fix it. Fix that problem. That'll cost you a whole lot less than $38 million. Fix the cracks in the walls and fix the plumbing if there's an issue. Just say, let's just renovate the whole damn thing, as if you guys just have money falling out of the sky and you're turning away money, potential money from the RNC, makes you look as stupid as you sound. I mean, what I've just said is all true, and it just makes you sound dumb. Carrie, do you know how many people voted in the mayoral race?
I did. Now, the first round, because remember, there was a runoff. So Ivy Taylor had 41,788 votes, and Ron Nirenberg had 36,887.
All right, so she beat him in the initial one, but they had to have a runoff because nobody got 50%.
Right. Mm-hmm. And
all right, so they go ahead.
And in the runoff, Ron Nirenberg got 54,010 votes, and Ivy Taylor received 44,919.
Okay, so between the two candidates, it was fewer than 100,000 votes. So now I'm going to make you really mad. Can you find out how many people are eligible to vote? How many voters are available?
Oh, voters. Okay, I was just looking at demographics. Right. Okay, well, let me check.
No, and again, the reason why I want to know is because, trust me, a whole lot more than 90-something thousand people can vote in San Antonio, Texas. A whole lot more. And it actually was a bit of a surprise that Nuremberg won. But again, you've got a far leftist guy who is supported by far leftist regressives that want us to be separate, wants to control us, wants to separate us on gender and race and ethnicity and for God's sakes, your sexual orientation. This is what the leftists do. And they're taking over little by little. We have to vote that ass out. While you look that up, let me grab a quick phone call here. It's going to be Robert in San Antonio. Robert, what's going on?
Hey, Joe. First of all, thank you for taking my call. And thank you for giving us the update on this, because I was so for this Republican convention coming here. Yeah. And I can't believe that I'm just now finding out that today. I mean, this is a man scream type of. I am so mad about this. This is absolutely ridiculous. Some of the stuff that these idiots are doing, especially with that bridge that they were building to join the two parks over here on the north side. Yeah, that's a double scream. Yeah, you know, these guys are driving.
Robert, do you live in San Antonio, the actual city of?
I absolutely do, and I voted.
Did you vote?
Idiot! I voted.
You voted for Nuremberg?
Yes, I did for that idiot. Okay.
Ron, I appreciate it. I'm going to get you off the phone before you scream in my ear again. I think Ron just likes screaming. Robert, I love you. I'm glad that you're passionate about it. Make sure you stay that passionate and hashtag vote that ass out. It's that simple. Carrie, you have the numbers?
The only one I could find was from 2015, and it was the mayoral election again, and that only drew 11.8% of registered voters.
Okay. And how many total votes does it say?
It doesn't say in this one.
Okay, so let's assume it was about the same turnout, and it probably was. If it's 11%, that means you've got 90% more people that could have voted that didn't. Am I reading it right? 89% more could have.
Right.
So 89% of the potential voters in San Antonio voted in the mayoral election in 2015. I want people to understand how stupid that is. You have to be engaged. You have to be ready to go and vote. Find out where the voting place is. Go there and make it happen. Research who the candidates are. Listen, I am not dumb enough to think that a conservative or a Republican is going to win the city of San Antonio mayoral race. Does he or she have a chance? Yes. If they say the right things, do the right things, and actually follow through on the campaign promises. It tends to be a left-leaning city, but moderately left. Blue dog left. The idea that far leftists like this can get some sort of power and control and then run it like they have, man, it's nuts. It is nuts. You know, and then you've got, you know, the former mayor Hardberger, who was a blue dog and who was, you know, middle left. Now he said, well, it's because the president hates 2/3 of the population of San Antonio. Just idiotic things. It's time to make a sea change at City Hall. And I mean your City Hall, wherever you live. If you're as unhappy and upset as the people like Robert are, who just called in, then clearly there's something you can do about it. You have a voice. You have the ability. You have a ballot. You have a vote. You have to make sure that it's heard. We have to send a resounding message across the nation when this guy comes up for re-election next year. One and done for a guy like a Ron Nuremberg in San Antonio. Keep it here. Coming back.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Hey, great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, JoePags.com. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. The live stream is there as well from San Antonio. It's the Joe Pags Show. Glad to have you along for the ride. Got a lot going on, lots that I want to get to today, and it's a free speech Friday, so whatever's on your mind is going to be fair game. If I know something about it, we'll talk about it. If not, we'll move on. I'll take a couple of calls on cities and city leaders acting like this and their little fiefdoms, acting like totalitarian governments that don't really care what the people think, doing closed-door meetings, lying about not wanting a bill to go through because it'll stop conventions, and then stopping a convention, not even trying to get a convention, one of the biggest, is just telling. One and done is the way it's got to be for somebody like that. But it's not new here in San Antonio. We've got sort of a recent history of people that are power and control, divide and conquer people. We had Julian Castro a couple of mayors back, who was still a leftist, and it got even worse when he became a part of the Obama administration. But at least he would come on a show like this, and he would talk to the people. At least he would be open about what his intention was. This guy thinks closing the door meeting and then coming out and then saying that a decision was made, that's kind of ridiculous. It's kind of ridiculous. He's taken it to a whole new level. And there's really no transparency at all. And, oh, let's spend $40 million on refurbishing City Hall. Let me go to the phone lines and say hi to Alan, who's in Corpus Christi. Alan, what's going on?
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I actually grew up and went to high school and college in San Antonio, and I moved to Corpus, and I've been here about 25 years. So I still watch what goes on up there, plus I have relatives up there. You know, okay. This Ron guy, when he was running for office at the beginning, he wouldn't even commit to what party he was on. And then you find out that he's from Austin, which, you know, if you're going to give Texas an enema, that's where you're going to start is Austin. You know, this guy needs to be put on the road and sent back up to Austin, get him out of San Antonio.
Well, the problem is he locked into the very progressive or regressive left in San Antonio. They're the ones that were activated to go and vote, and the rest of the people sat back and thought Ivy Taylor was going to be a shoo-in, and she ended up losing. She beats him in the primary and then loses in the actual runoff, and that's the problem. I think that this surprised a lot of people. As soon as he got in office, kind of like Obama did, he started doing his very radical left stuff, and people need to realize this isn't okay, and he's got to be voted out.
Right, yeah, no, as far as I'm concerned, he is worthless. I wanted to bring something else, and you just mentioned it. Have you ever thought about the fact that you have Juan and Julian, and that's kind of the same as Fidel and Raul? You know, how do you tell them?
Yeah, it's Joaquin and Julian, but yeah, no, they are the Castro brothers, but these are different Castro brothers, but I do appreciate you bringing that up. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Back at it, going to be Deborah in San Antonio. Hi, Deborah, what's up?
Hi, Joe. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I'm wondering why the mayor has so much power when we pay a city manager a bajillion dollars. Shouldn't she be managing the money?
Yeah, she's making nearly $500,000 a year. She really is the decision maker. The council has that kind of power because they get to have these meetings and then take a vote. The city manager, though, if she doesn't support what they're doing, it probably isn't going to happen. I've spoken to Cheryl Scully like once. And I think it was like 11 or 12 years ago when she first came here. Whenever it was that she came, I had her on the morning show on the local station here, WOAI in San Antonio. And she seemed to be nice enough, but I couldn't tell from that conversation what her leanings were. For this city to be this far left and for her to be making so much money as the city manager, one must assume that she agrees with this ridiculous separatist regressive agenda. So I'd be happy to see her go, too, if that's a fact.
I would be, too. She makes too much money for not doing anything.
Well, I don't think she makes too much money for the size of the city, but you're right, she makes too much money if she's allowing these kind of decisions to be made. The city manager who's making $500,000 a year should have stepped up and said, what are you, nuts? We need to have this convention here, at least try to get it. We have to. We should try to get the Final Four. We should try to get the DNC, the RNC, any convention we can get. We need to get it to lighten the load on the taxpayers in San Antonio and have the money left over to do these things you want to do. She should have stepped in, absolutely. I have to assume that she agrees with him. I have to.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
All right. I got you. I appreciate you. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Kerry, I want to switch gears here in a major way. If you don't mind, Donald Trump Jr. is being dad shamed.
Yeah.
Had you ever heard that term before?
I've heard of mom shamed, but not dad shamed.
I have never heard of dad shamed, but Donald Trump Jr. is being dad shamed. Fill us in.
From Yahoo, mom shaming has been a thing on the internet and in real life since parenting began, but dad shaming is catching up fast. It's often for the same reasons, and even first son Donald Trump Jr. is not immune. On Tuesday, the father of five shared a cute video of his two youngest children, five-year-old Spencer and three-year-old Chloe, horsing around with their dad and shooting Nerf guns at one another. Pretty wholesome, right? Don Jr., who seems to be an involved parent, captioned the video with an explanation of what the kids were doing. Morning Nerf gun battle time. Spencer and Chloe really abusing me this AM, but now it may be time to fight back with tickle time. When watching the video, the first thing you see is Spencer laughing and shooting his dad with his Nerf pellets. The camera pans to little Chloe, who's holding her toy gun and wearing pink shorts, but no top. And that's what people seem to have an issue with. Several commenters called out Don Jr. for not teaching his daughter modesty and putting her on Instagram without a shirt. Very cute, but daddy put a shirt on your little girl, instructing one commenter, teach her modesty, not too young to start. Chloe needs a shirt on and get rid of the moronic toy, wrote another. One scolded, put a shirt on Chloe. All that money, dress your children, wrote another. And many more weighed in with support for Don Jr.'s parenting style, pointing out that Chloe is just a little girl and that many parents let their small children play without their shirts.
I mean, did we really have to make the comment that many parents let their children play without their shirts? This is a three-year-old child. Anybody who is finding something obscene or untoward about a three-year-old girl running around, you know, playing with her sibling and her dad without a shirt on has got a really, really dirty mind. There's something immoral about you if you find that to be somehow sexual or titillating. I mean, it's not. As you know, I've got five daughters. We've got a three-year-old now, Mesa, who barely ever has a shirt on. It's like panty time all the time. Gia is nine, and she still feels very comfortable walking around and you know, living life. I mean, once you get older, you start realizing that it's time to start covering things up and whatever. Sam isn't with us today for me to ask her this, but if it were up to Sam, she would never wear anything but underwear. And if she's listening, she's going to be very mad that I said that, but
yes,
it's true.
Sure.
You know, it's chony time for me around the house all the time. I mean, I'm not sure I understand. Because he put it on Instagram, that means that he somehow... And here's the interesting part. The person who said that the toy was ridiculous is obviously an anti-gunner, right?
I'm sure, yeah.
The anti-gunners tend to be on the progressive left, tend to say that the girl, the graduate student who did her thesis the other day in her underwear was right to do so. So she can do her thesis in her underwear because she felt oppressed otherwise. But Donald Trump Jr.'s daughter, who's three, not wearing a top while playing with her dad and brother, that somehow... out of line. Wait, what am I? So, Karen, I'm going to ask you because I'm willing to be, you know, a bad parent here, I guess. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Phones are a-ringing, and that makes me feel good to see them ringing. I love to see them answered. So, I might be a bad parent. I'll take that. Is he wrong to have his three-year-old not have a shirt on? She's just relaxing at the house playing the game.
No. He's not wrong in doing that. Not at all.
Dad shaming? That's a thing?
It is a thing now. Welcome to the club.
I didn't see what his reaction was. Does he react at all? Do we know?
I don't think so. No. It was just other people commenting about it. But
let's make a decision. Let's make a decision. So... the political left in this country thinks girls can be boys, boys can be girls. They think that people wearing their underwear doing a thesis is somehow righteous. There was some march on the college campus recently that was a shirtless march. We're going to go shirtless to bring awareness to different issues. There is a naked run every year. I think it's University of Michigan where they just run, and it might be on 420. That might all be high, too. They're just running through the campus naked. There you go. Have a nice day. But Donald Trump Jr., because his name is Donald Trump, by the way, his daughter, who's three, is having fun in the most non-sexual, untantalizing way, not wearing a shirt like just about every child ever has done. And somehow, he needs to be shamed and he needs to understand that that's bad. See, listen, Carrie, this is why I can never be a leftist. I don't understand their positions.
Yeah.
They're not even consistent. Now, let me ask you this.
Okay.
What if Donald Trump Jr.'s daughter, Chloe, decided to start identifying as a boy? Then would it have been okay?
Probably so. Yeah. They would have embraced that.
What the hell am I missing?
I can't explain it.
1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Maybe I'm missing something. Maybe I don't get it. But if you had to decide, when's the cutoff date for girls not walking around the house with their shirts off? For a kid. Do you know one?
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't want to get graphic, but let's talk maybe when you hit puberty. You know, start changing and maybe modesty automatically starts kicking in. Mm-hmm. I mean, because before then, you're just having fun at the house. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. But maybe it was the fact that he put it on Instagram and that opens up, you know, to perverts and, you know, weird people, disgusting people who get their kicks from looking at stuff like that.
Yeah, they're weird people no matter what. I mean, I post a picture of my head and I get all sorts of disgusting weird people.
I know,
say stuff.
But when it comes to
people are
going to
be weird.
I know that, but I can kind of see where I would never comment on it. Like, you know, tell him to put a shirt on your daughter. But
Right. Honestly,
I don't think it was something I would put on Instagram.
Even when she's three.
Right.
Well, how about if she's a baby who just coming home from the hospital and mom's holding the baby and the baby doesn't have a shirt on? Is that okay? I guess I'm not being funny. I'm just wondering what the cutoff is.
I don't know what the cutoff is. I really don't. I'm just saying what I would have done.
I got you.
Not that it's wrong.
And I appreciate that.
But that
I
don't know if I would have posted it.
I'm hearing people say the same exact thing, that maybe you're modest, you know, when you're on Instagram, even if you're running around the house without a shirt on. Maybe there's a difference between actually not having a shirt on in the house and posting it on Instagram. So the issue was Instagram. But then again, you can go on Instagram and see women just about naked anytime you want.
Right. I know, but we're talking about
and
kids.
And that's for the purpose of, I understand, but that's for the purpose of being titillating or tantalizing people or being sexual or for whatever fill in the blank reason, by my calendar, by my whatever. This is a little kid playing with dad and brother. So, again, this could be a guy thing. As a guy, looking at that, seeing nothing whatsoever sexual at all, I probably wouldn't have noticed she had a shirt off until somebody said it. I'm fine with it. But maybe there is a because I'm hearing from women who are actually getting a hold of me on social media too, saying, bah, should have a shirt on. So maybe this is truly a gender thing, you think?
Maybe it is, because I know we're disagreeing with it. But again, it's not something I would have put on. Like I said, you have a little girl, she has her shirt off and she's playing at home. I don't have a problem with that. It's just putting it on Instagram or Facebook or any social media outlet where anybody can see it.
When you came over to my house that one time, and I have not invited you back, but when you came over to the house that one time, why did you have such a problem with my wife not wearing a shirt? I thought that was weird.
Stop. She was wearing her shirt.
Yeah, she had a shirt on. Yes. And you two went into a corner and complained about me for 2 hours.
Oh, yeah.
1-800-383-9624, JoePags.com. Your thoughts on this? Carrie and I do not agree, which I think is cool. Your thoughts on this when we come back on the Joe Pags Show. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
News updates to stay informed. Traffic and weather reports to make plans. The right tools for your day. News Radio 1200 WOAI.
Hi, great to have you. It is the Joe Pags Show. 1-800-383-9624. JoePags.com. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. The live stream is there too. Thanks a lot for stopping by. Listen, it is the right time to go and get your blood pressure checked. Now, it's always the right time to make sure that you know your numbers, that you know what your blood pressure is doing. But this is Blood Pressure Awareness Month. You might not have even known that. With the new guidelines for the American Heart Association, you want to take another look at your numbers and do something great for your heart, like drinking Super Beets. Super Beets concentrates an essential nutrient found in heart-healthy beets, which have been clinically shown to have beneficial effects in supporting healthy blood pressure levels. It's a small thing you can do to make a big difference, and I'm talking about right now. So call 800-516-8389 or go to joelovesbeets.com. With your first order, get another 30-day supply of Super Beets free, plus indicator strips to see how it's working for you. And as a special offer during the month of May, you'll receive a free bottle of D3 K2 Complex, a once-a-day dose of vitamins D3 and K2 that helps support strong bones and promotes healthy arteries, and a great-tasting tablet, all with free shipping. 800-516-8389 or joelovesbeets.com. Do it right now. Help that blood pressure out. All right, a lot of people calling in. They want to talk about all sorts of topics, which is great on a Free Speech Friday. And, of course, we'll continue that as we go forward. Carrie, I have got a ton of stories that I want to get to today. Let me read through some of these stories that I'm hoping to get to on the show. Starbucks has decided everybody can use the bathroom.
I saw that. Yeah.
We'll get to that, certainly. Yeah. Top of next hour. Just walk in. Hey, gotta go to the potty. Where's it at? Mm-hmm. Don't have to buy anything. Don't have to do anything. They're just building bathrooms for everybody now.
That's nice.
This one. How about this one? Tell me what don't tell me now, but think about this.
Okay.
A principal had a tradition in his elementary school, I think. I think it was elementary school.
Yes.
Not have been. Yes.
It was elementary.
Where he was spanking the children.
Birthday.
For their birthday.
Spankings, yeah.
I'd be spanking him in the face.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to help you out with that. Okay, we've got that one. We'll talk about that. Maxine Waters comes unhinged again. And page 45.
Saw that.
And page 45.
She does not like.
Okay, so we've got that, which is nice.
Great again.
All right, she doesn't. She thinks Make America Great is horrible.
So there you go. Does not care for that.
No, it's just dumb. And some students are deeply hurt by criticism of liberal intolerance.
Oh, great.
So they had like an open mic at a college, right?
Yeah.
And a conservative student went up and said, "You know, as a conservative student, it's hard to walk the halls here because here's how you're treated." Liberal students took umbrage to it and complained.
What?
And even though it was open mic, an administrator at the school sat the conservative student down and explained why it was so hurtful.
Oh, wow, that makes me so
I kid you
sad.
Not. That's so that should sad. Be from a new segment we call I Kid You Not. And that's just, that's not even half of what I have, not even half of what I have on tap. I have a lot more on tap than that. 1-800-383-9624, JoePags.com, Free Speech Friday. Let me quickly go to line two. And Michael in Kansas City. Make it fast, Michael. What's happening?
Hey, Joe. And Carrie, I was just calling in about Don Jr.'s 3-year-old being shirtless. And I think I agree with both of you. There's nothing wrong with a 3-year-old being shirtless. But at the same time, when you post something on Instagram, it's out there for everyone. And sometimes everyone does not include the type of people you want watching your topless 3-year-old running around.
I think it's an interesting angle, Michael, and I'm glad that you brought it up, and I'm glad that Kerry brought it up. It's an interesting angle for this reason. And tell me what you think about this, Kerry. Mm-hmm. The angle is interesting to me because there's a story that I talk about a lot from Schenectady, New York, from about 13, 14 years ago, where a girl got in trouble for wearing red, white, and blue beads to school because she was commemorating her uncle being over in the war in Afghanistan. She got in trouble because, I guess, gang members also wore beads, and it meant something. It didn't mean anything to her, so should she not wear beads because some bad people hijacked it? Should Donald Trump Jr. not be able to show his three-year-old having fun because bad people might take some sort of weird pleasure out of it? Think about that when we go to break. Quick break. We're back after this.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
To me.
Now, live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pags Show.
This is the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 800-383-9624 or go to joepags.com. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hey, great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all right there. Also glad to be on Newsmax TV, the Joe Pags Show, coming your way on a Friday. Strings. Horn section. That was me, protein bar, during the break. Protein bar, Kerry.
Didn't even know that.
Yeah, but you knew it was coming. No, we're changing anyway. Where is Bob Guthrie? Let's go.
Friday.
Uh-huh. Thank God it's...
Thank God it is Friday.
Yes, indeed.
Friday.
We made it. Thank God it's...
Thank God it is Friday.
You know what? Let's take it up a notch and make it a Free Speech Friday.
Freedom.
Kerry, how many times in the past 11 years that we've done this form of the show that people have said, what do you mean Free Speech Friday? Every day's free speech for me.
Oh, come on. They should know what you mean by now.
They should, right?
They should.
1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Whatever's on your mind is going to be fair game. If I know something about it, we'll talk about it or not. We'll move on. Topics that are already on the deck, and again, I appreciate everybody tuning in this hour. The show is an hour old now. This is our second hour. And in the first hour, we talked about Donald Trump Jr. getting dad-shamed because he dared show his daughter, Chloe, 3 years old, playing Nerf guns with him on Instagram. I think more people were put off by the fact that she didn't have a shirt on than were put off by her shooting a Nerf gun, both of which are extremely innocent, both of which are not questionable. And before we end the hour, and I just want to throw this out there, and Kerry, I want to know your thoughts on it.
Mm-hmm.
I gave the example of the school in Schenectady. I remember this little girl, she must have been 12, 13 years old, got suspended because she wore red, white, and blue beads around her neck to school one day. She was called to the office, to the principal, to whomever, to the counselor, and they asked, why do you have the beads on? She said, because my uncle, so-and-so, is in Afghanistan, and this is so that I can keep him in my thoughts, red, white, and blue beads. Well, you can't wear the beads. We have a strict no-bead policy. The reason they had a strict no-bead policy was because gangs were wearing beads. Now, gangs, I guess, would wear beads of either red or of blue. They weren't wearing red, white, and blue beads. And I think that somebody who's an educator should have a brain and be able to use common sense. But what came to my mind then was, well, what if gangs started eating cheeseburgers? And I've used this argument a few times, and I definitely want your thoughts on it. Because if gangs, let's say it's the Crips and the Bloods. I don't know anything about anything. But let's say it's those two because they have names. The Crips suddenly eat cheeseburgers every day for lunch. Does that mean the school should knee-jerk react and say, that's it? No more cheeseburgers. It's a gang sign. Like, I remember in California, gangs would wear the Raiders hats, the NFL team, the Raiders. I'm not sure if they were in L.A. or in Oakland at the time, but malls started making policies that you couldn't wear Raiders gear into their mall. Now, that's a little bit different. That's a private entity, a mall, even though you're offering public accommodation, and you can discriminate against people who, because of the hat they're wearing, as long as it's not on all the other lines like race and creed and origin and background and religion. But in school, can you really say you can't wear beads?
Well,
can you really say you can't eat cheeseburgers? And the reason why they're making these rules, just to sort of put a bow on it, and I definitely want to hear from you, but the reason why I'm bringing this up is the reason this girl couldn't wear beads is because of how other people would react. The reason, in my hypothetical, that you can't eat cheeseburgers is because of how other people will see it or react to it. So this, to me, feels the same as Donald Trump Jr. putting a picture of him playing with his kids online. I don't know if the boy had a shirt on or not, but his little girl doesn't have a shirt on. And people are attacking him. And the reason that I got from you, and the reason I got from the caller, and the reason I've gotten getting from my friends is Well, there are sick people out there online who will get some sort of perverted, disgusting pleasure out of looking at a three-year-old girl without a shirt on.
Right.
And my question is, do I have to change how I live my life because of how some weird, strange, sicko people might react, or how gangs might react, or
no,
how fill-in-the-blank might react?
You don't necessarily have to post it on social media, though. I mean, going back to the beads thing, because that was a real case, is that in a perfect world, yes, absolutely, she should be allowed to wear the beads. She had a beautiful thought and a beautiful message with that. But at the end of the day, I just want to protect my kids. That's all I want to do is protect my kids. So if there are gang members out there wearing beads, and then the school policy is don't wear any beads, even though hers are red, white, and blue, you know, there's going to be a case where they all they see are the beads and not necessarily the white ones. You know, it just...
Yeah.
I just want to protect my kids.
Well, my argument is this. I would much rather have the school be concerned about gang activity and less concerned about a kid who's innocent and isn't in a gang. I would rather have the school say, we need to step up our security. We need to step up the mechanisms we have in place to keep kids safe, because it's ridiculous to say you can't wear beads. It's ridiculous to say you can't eat cheeseburgers. It's ridiculous to say this gang is wearing jeans. That's it. No more jeans. You see what I mean? We're taking something that's commonplace and mundane, and we're making it a gang symbol because some idiot gang said so.
Right.
We're making a three-year-old without a shirt somehow obscene or sexual when clearly it's not. So, I understand the modesty angle actually makes more sense to me. Teach modesty young, I get that. But to say, what about the sickos that are looking at Chloe? I don't walk around life thinking about worrying about the sickos all the time. I worry about doing things that are wholesome and family-like and that, you know, a normal person would understand.
Right.
I mean, I get where you're coming from. I'm not arguing with you. I just want you to see my angle as much as I'm seeing your angle.
I do. Yes. We just disagree.
But again, at the end of the day, put a shirt on.
Yeah, if you're going to post it. Yes.
Okay. I got you. And again, I'm a father of five daughters. I understand the modesty angle big time. But I don't know. I can't go through life worrying about it. Like, I'll give you one more small example. I posted the picture of, or the video of me lifting 100-pound dumbbells the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy posted on there, nice body. And, you know, do I stop posting it because it's, because no women said nice body. And if they did, I probably would go, oh, thanks, I guess. But a guy posts nice body. Am I now becoming a magnet for gay men who like looking at me lift dumbbells? Or do I just keep on posting it and whoever likes it, whoever doesn't? I guess that's sort of where I'm coming from.
Yeah. And I live in a place. Posting it, but I'm
and Polo says, yes, stop posting it. Thanks, Polo. Appreciate your support.
But just your kids, I mean, you have to be their defender. That's just where I'm coming from on that. I
guess for me, the picture would have had to have been, or the video would have had to have been much more egregious than that. You know what I mean?
I'm going to say it.
Her nipples are like covered by the gun.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like she's like, hey, look at my bare chest. She's not doing the bare chest dance. She's playing with dad and with her brother. So again,
I
get it.
That's okay. But like I said, if you're going to post.
I got to tell you, whereas I'm normally 99% plus, I'm about 70% on this. I'm listening to you. I'm movable on this, and I am giving into the modesty angle. Maybe it would have been smarter not to have her shirtless. I guess my bigger problem with it is not the post. My bigger problem is the fake outrage, because I think that you and I will agree 100% that the people attacking him, generally speaking, are those who don't like him and his family.
I would agree with that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
I got you. I've got a friend who's now taking part in the show. Stop. Every 2 seconds, I'm getting another blip over on Messenger. 1-800-383-9624, JoePags.com, Free Speech Friday. A lot of people lined up, some to talk about the RNC, Donald Trump's daughter, mayoral race, who's voting, who's not voting. So we've got a lot of that going on. And I also, when we come back, Carrie, if you don't mind, get the Starbucks story ready.
Okay.
Starbucks has made the decision that they have built bathrooms for everyone in society. We'll have that for you when we come back, too, on the Joe Pags Show. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Hey, it's Joe Pags. Another chance to win $1,000 is coming up in less than 10 minutes, right here on News Radio 1200 WOAI. Happy to have you. Free Speech Friday, the Joe Pags Show. We're trying to get you some Trump tweets this hour. See how many? I'm looking over to the right. People watching. Whoa, what's he looking at? I'm looking at my other computer where the tweets are and trying to see how many we have for today. In the past 4 hours, we've got 1, 2, 3, and they all have video. But the third one is really from 2 days ago when the day and a half ago when the hostages came home. That's a pinned tweet. So really two from today. So we will certainly take a look at that this hour if we find time. A lot of people want to be heard on the phone lines. Before we get to you, Carrie, if you don't mind, I'd like to present that Starbucks story. Mm-hmm. Starbucks has now decided, in its reaction to the customers who happen to be black, that weren't really customers because they didn't buy anything, but they were waiting for somebody, they're going to have a meeting at Starbucks. This is the reaction by Starbucks to that whole thing. By the way, the first reaction was shut the whole, all the stores down, right?
Yeah.
And retrain everybody to be sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to happen. And then a dollar each to the guys. They just wanted to do it for principle, which I thought was actually very cool by them, by the guys who were wronged in this. They should never have been arrested. That was stupid. And now they've decided to change their bathroom policy. Please.
From the Business Insider, Starbucks bathrooms are now open to all, and that includes people who aren't paying customers. We don't want to become a public bathroom, but we're going to make the right decision 100% of the time and give people the key because we don't want anyone at Starbucks to feel as if we're not giving access to you to the bathroom because you are less than. Starbucks Chairman Howard Schultz said on Thursday at the Atlantic Council, we want you to be more than. Schultz said the decision to change the policy comes after the arrest of two black men at a Starbucks in Philadelphia.
What does that mean? I want you to be more than. I'm sorry. I'm not really sure. What does that mean? I want you to be more than and not less than. What's the then? What is the basis? Okay, because normally it'd be here. Here is the basis. We want you to be not less than. We want you to be more than. Well, what's this? What's the starting point?
Sounds nice. All right, go ahead. Schultz said the decision to change the policy comes after the arrest of two black men at a Starbucks in Philadelphia. A manager called the police when the men who were waiting for a business meeting asked to use the bathroom and refused to leave the store without buying anything. We have a kind of loose policy that you should be able to use the bathroom if you buy something, Schultz said, and it's really the judgment of the manager. In this particular case, she asked the gentleman, are you a customer? And he said no, and they go into a conversation. One thing led to another, and she made a terrible decision to call the police. A footage of the incident went viral. Starbucks apologized and announced plans to close all locations in the United States for the afternoon of May 29th to, quote, conduct racial bias education geared toward preventing discrimination in our stores. In the aftermath of the events, many people of color shared similar experiences they've had at Starbucks, as well as other restaurants and stores. Black baristas told Business Insider the incident was not surprising in light of the racism they had witnessed while working at the chain.
Everybody's racism on everybody. Everybody with the racism. And here's the problem. When you cry wolf and there isn't racism, you're actually making it worse and harder to detect real racism. Like the woman who was driving down the road in Virginia that we talked about yesterday, who was pulled over for going 15 miles an hour over the speed limit, was treated with absolute courtesy and care by the cop, and then she was like teary-eyed doing a Facebook Live afterwards about how the racism and the bigotry fell upon her head, none of which was true from the body cam. Now, baristas who happen to be black, according to the story you just read, are saying that they witnessed a bunch of racism firsthand from the company for which they work. I have an idea. Stop working there. There are plenty of jobs. And then report them to the EEOC. Report them to civil rights leaders. I mean, do something about it if it's true. You always, the hardest part about this, as our community expands, we've got over 320 million people now, the problem that you have is trying to figure out what's real and what's not. And I'm here to tell you, stop crying wolf. If it's really happening, take action so we can all work together to stop it from happening. If it's not really happening, it's not cool to pretend it is. You're hurting. So the whole less than more than thing. I'm a business owner now, Joe Pags Media. And I just had to be because of how we did the syndication. I wasn't before. But a long time ago, you know, 30 years ago, my parents and my wife and I bought into a pizza place in Delray Beach, Florida. For those of you in South Florida listening on 850 WFTL, it was Damo's Pizza, which was right next door to Atlantic High School. Atlantic High School now has moved from Seacrest Avenue, I believe, to either Atlantic Avenue or Linton Boulevard, something like that, in Delray. But that was our pizza place. And we did not have a public bathroom. Now, I don't know how it works at Starbucks. Carrie, is Starbucks, because they said the key, so the bathroom is locked and you literally need a key to go into it?
I have never experienced that. That you needed a key.
Have you gone to the bathroom at Starbucks?
I have, and there was no, you don't have you did, to,
there was no
the
key.
The one that I went
key.
To, you didn't have to go and ask for the key to open the bathroom. There was no key.
Okay. All right, so maybe he's using that as some sort of a metaphor or a euphemism. I don't know. But long story short, he says in the beginning part of the statement, we don't want to become a public restroom. Well, isn't it just exactly what he just became? And when you're saying less than or more than, if you're not a customer in my business, now we didn't have a public bathroom at Damo's. We had a bathroom for the employees, but we had no public bathroom. It wasn't a restaurant. It was a takeout place. So we would deliver to you, or you could order it and take it out. We did not have seats. We did not have waiters and waitresses. So it wasn't required that we had a bathroom that was open to the public. So for me, I can't really relate because nobody no customer was ever allowed to use the bathroom. That would have required them being back behind the counter where the money is and where the stuff is, and we didn't want to take that chance. So nobody was. It didn't matter your race, your ethnicity, your gender. I didn't care. There was no access. And I think we actually had a sign up that said no access. But if I did have a restaurant where there were bathrooms available, those bathrooms would be for the customers. So if you're not a customer, you are less than one of my customers. And it has nothing to do with your racial or ethnic background or features. Nothing. If you want to use our bathroom, buy a cup of coffee. I don't know why that rule is wrong. Now, having said that, I will be consistent, and I'll repeat what I said initially on this. The police should never have been called in. A conversation should have been had where the gentleman could have had a good reason to say, we're meeting our friend here for a business deal, and I have to go to the bathroom. We chose here to meet because we like your coffee and your Danish or whatever. I think that conversation could have happened. The manager says, are you a customer? Instead of saying no, which even Schultz says that's what the guy said, the guy could have said, yes, just haven't bought anything yet, we're about to. Or, you know, the manager can say, are you a customer? And the guy says, well, no, but we're meeting somebody. I think that a little of the onus has to fall on the guys. Now, again, never, ever, ever, never, unless they were doing something destructive or their hygiene was bad and they were smelling the joint out, nobody wanted to stay there and eat or drink, never, ever, never, ever, ever, never do I believe that the police should have been called in because, again, it hadn't been that long, it didn't seem, and the person they were meeting with shows up when the police did. So there was a lot of confusion, a lot of miscommunication. You wonder why the communication wasn't better than this, and it could have been and it should have been. But for him to say a blanket statement that everybody can now use the restroom, but we're not a public restroom, you are exactly a public restroom now. You cannot, according to your own store rules now, turn away a homeless person who hasn't showered in 2 months. Now, again, this is not me denigrating homeless people, but there are many who just don't have really good hygiene. You're selling food. You're selling drink. And you're asking a premium for that food and drink. And now you're talking about people just... I'm going to grab a bench in front of Starbucks. Anytime I have to go to the bathroom, I'm going to go to the bathroom inside of Starbucks, come back to my bench or my box. And again, this is not a denigration of homeless people. I'm using real world examples of what's likely to happen now. I mean, Carrie, is that not exactly what can happen? Or yeah. Are they going to start calling police on homeless people? Well, then what? You're denigrating homeless people? Yeah, now you have to pay them a dollar each. And you have to close down the shops and teach people how to treat homeless people. This is a Pandora's box. Simply nothing more, nothing less. I mean, I literally can go to the coffee shop. I can go to Dunkin' Donuts, get some coffee, walk into Starbucks with my coffee and say, I need to use your restroom. Go use the restroom and then go back and get on my jolly way. I'm not understanding what this policy is doing. Have it a policy of use your brain, communicate better, try to find out what's going on, make better decisions, call the police if there's truly an emergency situation. Why would that have been wrong? 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Peace in Korea. We're out of the Iran nuke deal, and the economy's booming. Let's pop a top and celebrate, shall we? Coming up at 8 on the Michael Berry Show.
Great to have you. Wonderful radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, JoePags.com. Newsmax TV as well. Love that you're hanging out with us today. The Friday edition of the Joe Pags Show. 1-800-383-9624, JoePags.com. It's a free speech Friday. Whatever's on your mind is going to be fair game. Carrie, reason number 342 for why you follow the Pagsy on the Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you know that you go to twitter.com/JoeTalkShow or put in at Joe Talk Show, JoeTalkShow, and you can join the fun. I live tweet during the shows. I do Monday through Friday. We do 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern. So in those hours, 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific, figure out your time. We're in Central, so we're 5 to 8. Mountain will be 4 to 7. You jump on there, and I'm live tweeting during the show. That's me. Nobody else has access to my Twitter, so it's only going to be me. But also, we talked about the Roseanne episode from this week about the Muslim family moved in next door from Yemen, so on and so forth. Conversation started there, and Roseanne started retweeting what I was saying, and today she's actually like back and forth with some listeners. So
that's
another reason.
Very cool. Yeah.
Because somebody tweeted to me and to Roseanne after I said, we're talking about the Roseanne show, blah, blah, blah. She retweeted it yesterday. And somebody tweeted, yeah, well, the one thing I don't like is that you've got these immigrants who have EBT cards. And I wrote, or no, he said non-citizens. And I wrote, we don't know that they're non-citizens. We know they're from Yemen, but they could be citizens. And Roseanne jumped in, oh, yeah, they're immigrant citizens. So, I mean, she jumped right in. Then she talked about the illegal angle that her husband on television, Dan Connor, couldn't get a job because illegal immigrants or illegal aliens were getting the bids and getting the work. And, I mean, she was absolutely engaged. So, again, that's follow me over on the Twitters. Roseanne Barr herself, the hottest thing on television right now, is in the fray, jumped right in to pick up the story from where we were, which is cool. So make sure you jump on there. And for those of you who can't spell Kerry's name, it's K-E-R-R-I-E-S.
No.
And it's L-O-C-K-E-E-Y-E-E, silent G.
C-A-R-I-L-A-Q-U-E.
Is there not a silent G in
There's
your name,
not
really?
A silent G, no. There's no
like
S.
In the word Nat.
No G.
So it's not a silent G?
No.
No, when you follow me on Twitter, I also will include Kerry in many of my tweets. So you'll see it's at Kerry, what is it? At Radio Kerry Lockie.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, again, I'll include that in tweet. In fact, I'll do it right now. And on television, this looks great. When I look to my left, which is where my Twitters are, it is plural, isn't it, the Twitters?
I don't think so. No.
Okay, I am now just tweeting her name, at Radio Kerry Lockie, for all of you people who want to know where she is and how to tweet to her.
Very nice.
All right, so go and check that out. 1-800-383-9624, JoePags.com. A lot of stuff is on the table here. Polo and I had a bit of a back and forth during the break. And I mean, this really does, I mean, you're right, Polo. I think that in places like New York and possibly L.A., especially parts of Hollywood, in Las Vegas, you're going to have, Starbucks is going to have a line of people waiting to use the bathroom now. Polo, if you wanted to jump in and sort of reiterate what you were saying.
No, I agree. And then I just wonder, because I know, like, my girlfriend, she loves Starbucks, I guess. And whenever she gets a drink, I'll ask her to get me a water, and then they'll give her a water for free. But it's obviously because she's buying something. So I wonder at some point if that's going to become a thing, too, where they're going to have to give away free water.
Well, I think it depends. I mean, they gave away a free coffee to a conservative guy who happened to be black. He walked in and want my reparations. And the people are like, you are so right. Here's your coffee. And gave him a free coffee.
Yeah.
And these coffees are not, these are what, $4, $5, $6 at Starbucks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what is the business model here? I'll understand. You have to let everybody use the bathroom. You have to give everybody free coffee. You remember about a year ago, they were writing, let's talk about race on the side of the coffee cups. There's something wrong with the management of this place. Because, I mean, everybody, even those who are left-wing and progressive, were like, I don't want to talk about race when I'm getting a cup of coffee in the morning. What's the matter with you? So I think they've jumped the shark, man. I would say get a different CEO. This guy, Schultz, is kind of a doofus. Let me go to the phone lines and say hello and welcome to Henry, who is in Austin. Henry, thanks for your patience. What's going on?
Oh, great. It's a beautiful day. How you doing?
I'm living the dream, man. What's happening?
Oh, excellent. Thanks for taking my call, Joe. I'm down here in Austin, or up here from you guys.
Yeah.
So I'm accustomed to being the only conservative in the room. And so I can understand how these students at that school were feeling, because I get shouted down here all the time. But anyway, that's not really what I call it. I really felt that Austin was the only place in Texas that would just automatically shut a conference down without even bringing it to the people. I really was amazed to see that San Antonio would do that. I mean, August is probably the slowest month of the year for hotels and conventions in, you know, this area.
Right, because it's so hot during the summertime here. You're right.
Yeah, so I would think that anybody would be jumping at the chance to bring, you know, some revenue into the city. I wonder how your hotel and your restaurant people feel about, you know, the fact that they don't even have a chance to bid on this.
Well, even the Chamber of Commerce was upset. And the Chamber of Commerce, you know, is not some right-wing organization. They were like, yeah, it would have been really helpful. I mean, hopefully we can get some other stuff come in, but we certainly would have liked a different decision. So, yeah, without a doubt, people who have common sense and who aren't trying to lead from some political place and are actually trying to get good things to happen for the city, they wanted it. And then you have people like Nirenberg, who should not be the mayor, saying that he didn't want it. So, yeah, that's kind of ridiculous. And Austin needs to wake up, too. I think in many ways, San Antonio is trying to become Austin Jr., and they've got to stop that. They should model themselves after places like Houston and places like Dallas, which may be run by Democrats, the actual cities of, but they're smart enough to know that it's smart to bring in conventions. Let me go to the phone line, say hello and welcome to Sheila. Actually, let me go to Marlene, who's in Fort Lauderdale. Marlene, what's going on? Hi.
Hey, how are you?
I'm living the dream. What's happening? It. Thank you.
Yeah. Well,
what's happening?
I'm a retired teacher from Miami-Dade County.
I live in Davie. I'm recently retired, and I was thinking about that Trump's granddaughter, you know, 3 years old. And everybody's concerned. Even on your show, a couple of people have talked about it. We have to protect children, you know, the children against these people. But how about, I don't understand why, if I could, you can go into it, Target or all these stores, and anybody could decide which bathroom they want to go to, and they can come on in. We're not protecting little children that way. And as a school teacher, they have a lot of places in Miami-Dade County Schools, I'm not sure about up here in Davie, where the kids can go wherever they want. You line them up. I did middle school, and then my last couple of years I did a school in Hialeah. And you line the kids up, and they don't have to believe it. They could go whatever.
So I mean, it's a little bit of a conundrum, isn't it? You can go to any bathroom you select. You can be any gender you want to be. You can go to any locker room you want to go to. But we're having a fit about a 3 year old playing Nerf guns.
I know. I mean, I had daughters. I had sons. I had grandkids. You know, and everybody. They're making a sexual thing out of a 3 year old. It's all sex. They're making stuff out of them, but they're not protecting the children. It boggles my mind. I mean, it's just stupid.
It does mine as well, Marlene. I appreciate you. And it's funny hearing about Davie and Hialeah and all that. My dad used to work at a bowling alley in Hialeah, which was about an hour south of where we used to live, but all a great area in South Florida. You know, it's interesting. I think that we probably are, and Kerry, you talked about this very well. So did my friend, who's being annoying. It's more about the Instagram angle for you guys. It's not necessarily about a three-year-old girl running around without a shirt on.
Sam actually sent me a message.
Sam said that she doesn't remember putting a shirt on in the house until she was nine. So it took a while for Seb. But the different angle is you've got a picture of it or a video of it. Now it's up for the millions to see. And you're talking about protecting the images of the child from somebody who would be a bad person.
That's it. Yes. That was my problem with
it. All right. I got you. Let me go back at it and say hello and welcome to, it's going to be Sheila now in Austin. Sheila, I appreciate your patience. What's going on?
Well, hi, Joe. There's a lot of
hello.
Topics on the table. But I would like to direct your audience back to how to take control of your city council.
Okay.
Okay. Now, the city council operates by the city charter. And in San Antonio, I was doing some work with some citizens who were bringing to light some real egregious actions of the city council that was completely getting ignored and was costing millions of dollars to the citizens, and the citizens don't even know it. Now, in that research, if I recall, and I haven't done this recently, there's over 900,000 registered voters in San Antonio. Now, your problem is that your right to recall your city council is governed by your city charter. And right now, so if you recall that the mayor was elected by, 54,000 votes?
Yeah, it was 54,000 to 45, something like that, right.
Okay, so you're talking about 5% of registered voters elected.
Right.
Your mayor. Well, your city charter says it takes 10% of registered voters to recall. So you're supposed to come up with 90,000 signatures to recall someone that was elected by 54,000 before you can even recall them. And the reason is your charter says 10% of registered voters. And what that charter should be changed to is 10% of who voted in the last election. Now, what's 10% of 54,000?
Well, 5,400, right. Yeah.
Exactly. So if you go in there and you change your city charter by petition of the people that you have the power to, and it takes 10% of registered voters or 20,000 signatures, whichever is less, you can go in there and propose to the voters to change your city charter and get back control of your city council.
Well, or you could actually go and vote, Sheila. And again, this is good stuff. I'll look it all up with the city charter and all that. And that'd be very interesting to take a look at. I mean, I didn't know that it was 10% of the voting public. I mean, that's very interesting to me. And if you can make it 10% of those who actually voted for the mayor, that'd be even more interesting. But it's less than a year away, the next election. He's got to be one and done. He's got to be voted out. This is a ridiculous move by him. Now, it would probably be too late in the beginning of 2019 to vie for the Republican National Convention in 2020. But this decision on its own, and there are several egregious, horrible decisions by this mayor, this decision alone should be enough to get this guy to be one and done. He needs to not set up shop too much in that office because having his own memorabilia and personal stuff in there is just going to be a waste of time because he's going to have to put it all in a box in about a year and get it back out of there. So we'll stay on this, that's for sure. And I'll look up the city charter in the meantime. Why not? 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Coming right back. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Congress.
News Radio 1200.
We'll be right back. to have you. Thanks. It is the Joe Pags Show. 1-800-383-9624. JoePags.com. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. That's Carrie Lucky. You're getting some new followers over there, Carrie, because I tweeted out your name.
I know.
And now people know.
I appreciate that.
And they are following you. They'll be very disappointed soon enough. They'll realize that the only time you post anything is when somebody compliments you, you'll retweet it, and then you'll like it. Or if they somehow denigrate me.
No, not all the time. Not all the time.
Have you ever posted an independent thought or not?
I think I have, but not in a while.
You don't even know.
I don't remember.
All day long, I'm putting out pontificating all this stuff all day long, and then you'll only retweet or like.
And that's because it's my Twitter. Not. It is. I don't know why it bugs you so much.
Well, because you suck at Twitter. I'm sorry, did I just put that out there?
Yeah, we all heard that.
I think that's the echo that the one guy doesn't like. And you know what? Get over it.
Do it again, yeah.
So there you go. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Let me go to the phone lines on a Free Speech Friday and say hello. Actually, before I do that, let me tell the people something important. I got to remind you about CarShield. CarShield is the warranty company that has a warranty for you after your manufacturer's warranty expires on your car. You take the car in, you go to try to get something done, and oil change, check the tire pressure, whatever. Turns out you've got some sort of a big repair that has to happen. Could cost you thousands of dollars. That warranty is over, and now you're in big trouble out of your pocket. Well, CarShield is the company that can make up the difference. They provide you 24-hour roadside assistance, a rental car while yours is being fixed for free. You can get your car fixed once you have this warranty, and then the problem happens. You can get the car fixed at your favorite dealership or your favorite mechanic. It's your choice. Save yourself thousands of dollars in future car repairs. Get covered by the ultimate in extended vehicle protection like I did. 800-CAR-6100. Mention code Joe or visit carshield.com. Use code Joe to save 10%. Carshield.com, code Joe, or 800-CAR-6100. Mention my name, Joe. Get this done right now. Why are you waiting? Make it happen. A deductible may apply. CarShield, get it done. All right. We've got a lot of stories to get to. I wonder if we have time for, the Trump tweets, right?
I think we do,
and the people
sure.
love the Trump tweets.
I love them.
How can you know? And he's starting to go, like 4 minutes ago he had one. So why don't we better do this because he's starting to go on a little bit of a Twitter storm. Uh-huh. A little bit of a Twitter. Let's do some. Terribly Twitter storm. Carrie Lucky only answers the tweets and it's nice to her. Pomo. Carrie Lucky the pain. Trump tweets. No idea what that was even about.
That's great. Thank you.
Okay, so this one is from, and let me switch this over so the people on the TV can see it if they'd like. This is 4 hours ago. Today, my administration is launching the most sweeping action in history to lower the price of prescription drugs for the American people. We will have tougher negotiation, more competition, and much lower prices at the pharmacy counter. All right, the next one, he continues. 3 hours ago, the American people deserve a healthcare system that takes care of them, not one that takes advantage of them. We'll work every day to ensure all Americans have access to the quality, affordable medication they need and deserve. We will not rest until the job is done. He continued. Now, this is 16 minutes ago. Now he's like, here we go. Big week next week when the American embassy in Israel will be moved to Jerusalem. Congratulations to all. And the next one, 5 minutes ago. Why doesn't the fake news media state that the Trump administration's antitrust division has been and is opposed to the AT&T purchase of Time Warner in a currently ongoing trial? Such a disgrace in reporting. So I'm guessing he's watching something, Carrie, and he's unhappy. And again, there's a pinned tweet about the hostages coming home the other day. Those are your Trump tweets for today. He's on a bit. He's watching something, and he's like, give me my phone. Blah, 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 fantastic tweet. And that's what he's doing. He's putting it right out there. He watch this. Carrie Lucky can't tweet. I'll tweet.
No, yeah.
Let me go to the phone lines and say hello to Tevye in Minnesota. What's going on? Hi.
Hi. I had a cousin who, I'm in my 60s. I had a cousin who, when he was like five, he had breasts bigger than my 14-year-old sister because he had an endocrinology disease. But when he played football or anything else, he was distracting. It was kind of funny because people would look at his breasts and make fun, and they'd miss balls, so everyone wanted him on his team. So he was kind of popular for that because he was a distraction because we still had skins and shirts in gym.
Debbie, you held on for about an hour, right?
Yeah.
Because, man, that is a disturbing story. I got to tell you, it's a disturbing story. Carrie, what do you think about Tevye's story about his cousin or his friend or somebody with the man boobs? Anything?
No, I have nothing on that one.
We just want to say thanks for the call. Listen, have a good weekend. We just want to say thanks. Carrie, you sure you don't have any other comments on that?
I'm really sure.
Boobs.
Really?
Boobs.
All right, 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. A lot of people want to be heard. The Free Speech Friday train continues. Starbucks bathroom, that's on the line. Mayoral race, not enough people voting, that's on there. John McCain, that's on there. Starbucks, that's also on there. And we've got other stories that we want to get to, including, Carrie, you've got the story, top of next hour,
mm-hmm.
of the liberal students deeply hurt.
I do.
By a conservative student going to an open mic night and just telling the truth. Deeply hurt.
Aww.
We got to go for now, though. On television, we'll see you on Monday. We continue on radio. Keep it on the Joe Pags Show.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Now, live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pags Show.
This is the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 800-383-9624 or go to joepags.com. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Great radio stations across the land, iHeartRadio, joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all of that and more right there. Also, the live stream is over at joepags.com. The Joe Pags Show coming your way on a Friday. Ah, freedom. Uh-huh. Say what? Bring it. We go through most of the week, first 4 days anyway, and I decide what we're talking about. Today, you can bring up whatever topic you want. If I know something about it, we'll talk about it. If I feel like talking about it, I will. If I don't, I'll say thank you and hang up. Sort of how I treat Carrie, right?
You know it. You hang up on me all the time.
Joe, I love you, bro. Prob don't remember me, but we had a great call a while back. On hold for an hour, stopped at a drive-through window, started to order, and you took my call. Was unforgettable for me. Still love you guys. Please help me find Carrie Lockie on Twitter. You know?
Nice.
The hell is that?
Very, very nice.
And he spelled it CarrieLockey.
Well, you know who he's talking about. You showed him.
Yes, so I responded.
In the wrong.
I responded. You nailed it.
Really?
1-800-383. No, you saw that I actually tweeted back to him.
Thank
and,
you.
And gave you a real handle.
I appreciate it.
Let's see. Oh,
that.
He wrote back. Never mind. I was able to find her finally. I'm officially Carrie Lockie follower. Number 1674. It's funny. He says that he's following you. And it's the real you, I guess.
I'm not getting any notifications.
But he still spelled it
there.
CarrieLockey.
Oh.
Why?
I'm not sure.
I don't
sure.
think he really found you.
Yeah, because I don't see anything, but okay.
Do you only have 1,600 followers? That can't be possible, Kenneth.
Why? Yeah, maybe.
You should have more, no?
No, I've got a little over 1,600. Not 16
wow,
people.
That stinks, dude. That's bad.
I'm not like you.
That's true.
And I mean that in a good way. As far as when it comes to social media. For me.
So I have 50,000, you have 1,600, and you saying I'm not like you is a good thing for you?
Yes.
Help me
I'm
understand.
Not up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning
mentality.
Fighting
this is girl
with these
rationale,
people.
Isn't it?
It doesn't rule my life like some people.
Well, you don't fight with anybody on social media at all. You just kiss up to them. And they tell
no,
you how great you are.
I don't kiss up to them. I don't. But it's nice. They want to tell me how great I am.
Your voice is lovely. It bounces off of Joe Talk Show in, well, it bounces. You liked and shared that one. Joe Talk Show, perhaps Carrie Lockie.
Get off
title
my
could
Twitter
be forever
page.
News goddess. I'm sure.
Yeah,
these are
yeah,
things
I did
you
share
retweet.
And retweeted that one.
I'm not
that
the only one who thinks that. I love you, Joe, but I enjoy the show a lot more when Carrie's on with you. Carrie is the ear candy, sexiest voice. This is a suck page. What is this?
I love it. I love it. There's
I can go down the entire list of your tweets and retweets, and that's all it is.
It's okay, because it's mine. Mine. Not yours. Mine.
Carrie is the ear candy, sexiest voice on the radio. Well. Carrie, you rock. And that's no lie.
That's good stuff. That's good stuff.
Horrible. There is not one post on here that is not a retweet or a like by you just kissing up.
So? It's
that's
okay.
Crazy.
I can do what I want.
Wow.
I just retweeted something else, actually. Did you see that one?
I'm going to talk to Jack Dorsey to see if he can take down your Twitter page.
Go on.
The best part about the Carrie and Joe show. See, this is stupid now. I'm unfollowing you and blocking you.
Oh, come on. Don't block me.
I am. I'm blocking you. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. You got to give us that story about the butthurt liberals that on an open night, open mic night, they were really, really turned off and insulted by something a conservative college student said. Help me out here.
No, how do you say it? Oswego?
Oswego.
Oswego, okay. State University of New York at Oswego administrator has reprimanded a conservative student for delivering an uncomfortable speech during an open mic event last month. According to an email obtained by Campus Reform, the school's alcohol and other drug program coordinator, Tricia DeWolf, contacted student Nicole Miller on May 2nd, stressing that some open mic attendees were disturbed by her presentation criticizing liberal intolerance on campus. It was brought to my attention that students were uncomfortable with the letter that Nicole read during open mic last week. The official wrote in the email, "While I am in support of your freedom of speech, I was implored to reach out to you both by more than one student. Anytime I receive a complaint, I have to follow up," she continued. "The unwritten policy has always been after one complaint, you receive a verbal warning, and any complaint after that may result in being asked to not perform an open mic. I've already had to utilize this unwritten rule once this semester." The letter, which Miller read during the event at the school's Lifestyle Center, describes the experience of a conservative woman on a liberal campus and criticizes liberal students for their treatment of Republican classmates. Quote, "I've been on this campus for almost 3 years now, and let me tell you, it's been hard to show my beliefs here," the letter reads. "I've heard horror stories from other conservatives on this campus about the brutal mental and emotional attacks on them. I've had them myself. It sickens me to death that people that preach tolerance and acceptance of all people are so openly against us and our beliefs." The letter then summarizes some of Miller's experiences on campus, including direct confrontations with liberal peers who allegedly scolded her for her views.
Just so I understand, because I want to go back a little bit in the story, what this administrator said was, it's the policy that after one complaint, you get a verbal warning. After more than one complaint, you could be asked to not perform again. I did hear you right?
Yes, that is what the email said.
So if she says something that is entirely appropriate, says, "Here's my experience as a conservative student on this campus, a liberal campus. Here's how I've been treated. Here's my truth." She's not profane. She's not threatening anybody. She's not saying anything that's backward or against the university. She's just giving her opinion or her true emotional feelings about what it's like to be a Republican or conservative on this campus. And the policy that's being cited is one complaint, you get a warning. More than one complaint, and you can be asked to not perform anymore. So all anybody really has to do, and again, correct me if I'm missing it, all anybody really has to do is say, "I complain about this person because of the subject matter." The administrator doesn't have to look into the subject matter, doesn't have to say, "Yes, it's appropriate, no, it's not." All they have to say is, "You're now verbally warned. Up, got a second complaint. You may no longer take part."
Right.
In a university, which is part of the SUNY system, State University of New York, that is funded and subsidized by the taxpayers. I do understand correctly, right?
You are correct.
It's stunning. But you know what? It shouldn't be. But when you've got a blanket rule like that, one complaint and this happens, second complaint and that happens, and the content of what was said doesn't matter, you're in a real pickle as far as being an educator to me.
Hardly open mic then, isn't it?
Well, they shouldn't call it that.
I know.
You're exactly right. Closed mic is what it should be called.
There you go.
Which is sometimes what I want to do to you. 1-800-383-9624. Joe Peck.
Oh, it's a chocolate voice. It's just velvet.
Don't be
it's a
jealous.
Sexy chocolate velvet voice.
don't even, Carrie, because you know I'll do this. Girl. And that's it.
All right.
That's it.
All right.
So ladies wild. And
I know
Solomon.
It does, apparently.
All right. Let me go back to the phone lines here. It's going to be Max, who's in Florida. Max, what's going on?
Hey, Joe. How's it going?
Living a dream, man. Talk to me.
Yeah, I just want to tell you that I've called like numerous times over the past year, and I've always got a busy signal.
Well, see, you finally got through, man. You've made it.
Yeah, and it's on this Starbucks subject, I guess. And
okay.
I always want to talk about other things when you were, helping out Trump with some of your opinions that were always supportive, which I appreciate for the most
Thanks.
Part. But yeah, the Starbucks thing, I mean, how many times have you gone into a store or a restaurant that says that restrooms are for customers only? They have their policy right on the door. Or
it happens all the time.
Yeah, so you see that, right? And you understand that, you know, a customer is a patron, or a patron or customer is somebody that actually purchased. You become a customer,
right.
You purchase something.
Mm-hmm.
But
exactly.
Yeah, so you know, what's that guy, Shapiro? Ben Shapiro, you ever see anything from him on YouTube?
Yeah, Ben Shapiro's very good. Yeah, good conservative voice.
Yeah, he did his own conductive research and study on this whole thing. I don't know if you realize, but he actually
peeled back the layers on it, found out that the lady that called the police isn't racist in any kind of way, which I assume that they got proof that she might have, like, some sort of black relationships in her family or something like that.
No idea.
She didn't get fired. They moved her to another store. When the police got there, they asked the gentleman there that claimed to be businessmen, asked them, hey, would you, they want you to leave. Are you going to leave? And they said, no, we don't want to leave. And they said, okay, well, we're here to, on a trespassing call, and if you don't want to leave, we have to arrest you to remove you from the premises. And Shapiro found out later through the police report, he found out through his police, through his investigation that he conducted, that the guys told the cop, how are you at a $45,000 a year salary going to tell a businessman like me what to do in public? But supposedly that's what came out from this.
And well, that would be a pretty stupid thing to say, because obviously they're public servants and they're doing their job. But I didn't see the Ben Shapiro report. I don't really have a comment on it. I mean, whatever. Ben does good work, and I trust that what you're saying is true. As the police were locking these guys up, putting them in handcuffs, the person they were meeting shows up and says, hey, they're meeting me. And it turns out there was a business meeting. They're somehow either brokers or developers or something, and they were working with a real estate agent. That's the story that we've been told, and the guy who showed up said that that was the case. So, again, we don't know enough about it. I don't know that Ben Shapiro knows exactly what the manager said to them and what they said to the manager. What I do know is Starbucks has now jumped the shark in that anybody and everybody can use their bathroom, and that's a really, really dumb policy.
They sound stupid for that, but may I say this, okay? If they are businessmen, like they claim to be, they would understand what business is and what businesses have policies and be willing to cooperate. And if you're such a businessman with a big businessman meeting, become a customer and buy a cup of coffee.
Again, the allegation was they were going to buy some coffee, maybe even some food, once the guy that they were meeting with showed up. They wanted to wait till he got there. That's what the story is. I wasn't there. You weren't there. Ben wasn't there. So I don't know what was really said. Clearly, these guys were sitting there not buying anything. They wanted to use the bathroom. She uses the policy to say, are you a customer? He says no, whereas he should have said yes if they were about to buy something. And then it all goes downhill from there. I don't think they ever should have been locked up, because clearly they weren't causing a disturbance. They just wanted to use the bathroom and hadn't bought anything yet. So this thing, the reaction by Starbucks is stupid. The reaction by Starbucks is way over the top, and it makes me nuts. Am I here to say the guys were wrong? No. Am I here to say Starbucks was wrong? Yeah, I think the reaction was over the top. Did the guys say something that was underhanded or untoward to the police? I don't know. They shouldn't have if they did. But at the end of it, we really don't know everything that was said. We don't. We have no idea. And I wish that Starbucks would let this manager tell the actual story, but I'm guessing that her job is probably on the line if she speaks.
Well, if a cop comes in somewhere, I don't care where I'm at, and he tells me that the representative of the ownership of the property wants me to leave, I'm going to leave.
Well, I mean, that's you. I wouldn't. If there weren't a good cause for why I should leave, I wouldn't. I would ask the police officer, what is the charge? What is it that they're saying? Let's try to work this out. I wouldn't just get up and say, yes, sir, Mr. Government, take me away. That's not who I am. I would try to figure out what the situation was. Again, we don't know what either side said, Max, and that's the problem. You're assuming that what Ben found out is true, and you're assuming what these guys allegedly said is true, and I don't know that. I have to go on the actual fact. I wish we could talk to the Starbucks manager.
Well, You're pragmatic. You're very pragmatic.
I
understand.
Yep.
And that's why I love your show. You have a lot of common sense approach.
Thanks.
With a sarcastic humor. It's great. I love it.
Thanks,
your
man.
Parodies, everything. I mean, I've listened to a lot of talk radio throughout my years. I've listened to your show for about 2 years now. Maybe actually going on 3 years. I saw you on a public broadcasting station down here in the Fort Lauderdale area. They aired you. Like, I think it was through a Palm Beach PBS public broadcasting. I got to see you, and
I don't know
online or anything like that. But it's cool, man. It's good to see. It's good to connect the face with the voice and the personality, and it's a really good thing. But I'd like to add just one other thing.
If I really got to go. It's like 6 minutes on. We got to go. No, we have to go now. Max, I love you. I love you. And I'm glad you called it. See, what happened was, Kerry, he'd been trying to get through for 3 years.
Yeah.
And I tried to be as calm as I could with Max and wanted to give him all the time that he possibly could. But he's 6 minutes in and was going to go to Donald Trump now.
I know.
You know what I mean?
He had a lot to say.
Max, I love you. Call back again. You'll get through again. I promise. Just keep on trying. And we love that you like the show. 1-800-383-9624. JoePags.com. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Registration.
Hey, it's Joe Pags. Another chance to win $1,000 is coming up in less than 10 minutes right here on News Radio 1200 WOAI. Hi, glad to have you. Welcome to the program. Thanks. The Joe Pags Show, 1-800-383-9624. JoePags.com for a free speech Friday. Carrie, the question is, should I? I mean, you know, I don't know. I guess I could.
I was looking at it on my phone because it wouldn't come up on my computer, but...
Why not?
Oh, no! No!
What?
No!
What's the big deal?
No. Heck no.
What?
Heck no. No, do not do that.
What are you talking about?
Yes, no.
So in other words, only you can have all this going on. Only you can do that.
I'm not doing it. No.
Blah, blah, blah.
I just say this. Lydia posted on my Facebook page... Ask me a simple question, and I could, I guess.
You could, wondered but if I you could
if I could
not.
Post a picture of me pumping the 100-pound dumbbells shirtless. I can probably do that. Why not?
I'm sure you could, but don't do it. Please.
So you're saying I shouldn't?
Have to block you from Facebook. No, don't do it.
Oh, now you're going to block me on Facebook? Oh, stop it. What is the matter with you? Oh, I'm just answering some quick tweets.
But it's
tweets
true. You know, you never would hear the end of that.
Never.
Never.
My answer to her was I could, but I would never hear the end of it.
Yeah.
Simply from this one over here.
That's right.
I wanted to say hi to Kathleen. Kathleen says, how is the handsome Italian doing this Friday evening?
Really?
Kathleen, I'm not sure how he's doing, but I'm doing just fine. See? I can be humble.
Okay. That's nice. I like that response.
a little humbleness, a little modesty.
Just
let me go to
bit.
The phone lines here. It's Charles in San Antonio. Charles, what's on your mind? Hi.
Joe, I'm glad you finally took my call. I've got 3 points here. First of all, can I steal your quote from earlier about
yes.
the San Antonio election? And I just need to
sure.
reiterate, how do you say it? Get that ass out of there, or what did you say?
Oh, no, time to vote that ass out.
Time to vote that ass out. Would you mind if I use
right.
that quote?
You just did. I mean, I can't stop you. You mean you're gonna
make money with it?
No, you can't steal my quote to make money with it.
No. Of course, I'm not going to make money with it. But the reason
absolutely steal that quote.
Okay, thank you very, very much, sir. I appreciate it. The other thing I wanted to let you know is I already looked into the recall thing, and it's going to take a total vote of the total voters of San Antonio. That's what the Bexar County voter registration person she gave me. She said you would have to have the total number of voters in San Antonio that. Registered to vote in order to get a recall.
So it'd be 10% of that. It'd be 90,000 that you would need.
Yes, exactly. I had already looked into
that's why I say it would be easier to wait the year. Wait a year and then vote his ass out.
Well, you know, Joe, at this point, I'm about frustrated. I'm about to just go ahead and start it. Even if it's a one-man show and nobody agrees with me, if I have to stand on a corner of the bums to do it, why can't I?
Well, Charles, I think a lot of people do want to do it, but if they could barely get 90,000 to vote in the actual election, you collecting 90,000 signatures is going to be a huge mountain. I would rather just really let people know who this guy is and who the council is, and then make sure that next May they know to vote him out.
Exactly. Well, I thank you very, very much for that, and keep up the good work, Joe. Trust me, it's working. It really is.
Charles, okay. I'm doing the best I can, my man. I appreciate you holding it. Held on for an hour. Just wanted to see if you could use the quote.
Wow,
the answer is yes.
Nice.
Hashtag vote that asset. What did you say to Kathleen? Leave Kathleen alone.
What did you say to Kathleen? I didn't say anything. I just liked your response, you know.
Oh, you liked that I responded and I was all humble?
Yes. That was very refreshing.
Let me just say this. Kathleen, girl. Girl.
That's it.
That's all I have. 1-800-383-9624, JoePags.com. We're coming back right after this. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Friggin' agent means producer.
Peace in Korea. We're out of the Iran nuke deal, and the economy's booming. Let's pop a top and celebrate, shall we? Coming up at 8 on the Michael Berry Show.
Great radio stations all over. iHeartRadio, JoePags.com. All the social media is there, plus the live stream. Glad to have you along for the ride, the Joe Pags Show. On a Friday, Free Speech Friday, along with Carrie Lockie. Carrie, I'm going to need the story And then I'm going to need your thoughts as a parent as to what you would do. I'm going to need the story about the principal who's going to stop doing something that he's been doing. Mm-hmm. And you wonder if parents knew the whole time that he was doing this. But go ahead.
This is from CBS 6 in Alvord, Texas. Students at one Texas elementary school will no longer be headed to the principal's office for birthday spankings. Alvarado Elementary School Principal Bridget Williams notified parents in a letter April 25th. She had received complaints about her 8-year tradition of doling out spankings on students' birthdays, according to KTVT. In the letter, Williams described the celebration, saying when a student's name is called in the morning to come to the office to celebrate their special day birthday, they may receive birthday spankings along with a birthday special day pencil and a piece of candy. As she added, the spankings take place in the main office, which has surveillance cameras, and there are other adults present. Some parents defended the practice, according to KTVT, but at least two complained. In the letter, Williams informed parents they had a request in writing that their children be exempted from the special celebration. In a statement, however, Superintendent Randy Brown said Williams ultimately decided to discontinue the tradition, but will continue to celebrate each child's birthday with a hug or high five. He also made a point of saying the spankings weren't actual spankings, but a traditional celebration of a child's birthday. KTVT said at least one parent told the TV station the practice wasn't appropriate, but several others didn't have a problem with it. One called Williams an awesome principal and said the spanks were all in fun. They're not used to a small town community, Heather Redder said, and that's what we are. People that move here from the big city, they don't realize, and they're not used to this.
So people who are from the big city don't understand that in rural America, we spank kids at school on their birthday?
Apparently not, according to that one parent.
And the principal's a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Would call, like, probably go loudspeaker, Carrie Lockie to the office, please. Carrie Lockie to the office. Then you would go.
I would,
and then she'd say, happy birthday, and then start spanking you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's not described in the story is what they mean by spank, because they say it's not the traditional idea of spanking.
And
well,
is it with a paddle or her hand or what's going on?
Now, conversely, I'm for corporal punishment. I'm for spanking in school, but I've always said, and I'm going to continue to say, the parents should be notified and given the opportunity to come down and be in the room when it happens. Because I think that takes any guesswork out of it as far as how far the administrator goes. Mm-hmm. But you're talking about spanking somebody because it's their birthday. And, Carrie, you probably know more about spanking than I do. Are there different definitions for spanking?
Why would I know more than that?
Paul said that you probably knew more about spanking. I don't know.
No
idea.
I don't.
So actually, you can't answer the question? You don't know if there are different forms of it?
You answer the question. I don't know.
I may or may not have been involved in spanking in my life. I may or may not have been.
You have.
But what I'm saying is, it's a pretty definable word to me when you say spank. If I say spank, you generally know that it's going to be with a hand and generally will be on the butt, right? I mean,
yes.
Is there a different definition?
No.
Like, I've never heard somebody say, I spanked him in the face, because then that would be a slap in the face, no?
Yeah, I'm thinking it's on the butt.
Paula, can spanking be on any other part of the body?
Yes.
Really? What else can you spank?
Well, if I have to tell you.
Are you seriously asking that question?
I mean, come on.
I am. You, the definition, look it up. If you're being a pig, which I know you are, but what I'm saying is look it up. You spank somebody, that means you hit them on the butt.
You know, but it's kind of funny because I don't know where, but I remember hearing about people doing this. Like on your birthday, like, hey, you get like some spanks for your birthday, and then boom, and one more to...
Polo,
one to
absolutely.
Grow on.
Yeah, one to grow
people,
on, exactly.
Absolutely, 100%. Guess who doesn't do it? The principal at the school. You know what I mean? That's like for your birthday party at your house, and you have fun spankings, your parents might spank you, whatever, your friends, whatever. That's a fun thing, a private thing that you do at the birthday party. You don't, the principal does it? I'm sorry. Nobody thinks this is a problem?
I wouldn't care for it. And I know my kids wouldn't want to do it either.
Well,
so.
I mean, I would think that the kids might not mind it too much if they're getting a free pencil and some candy, you know. So.
Well, the kid doesn't know. It's some elementary school age kid.
No, of course not.
They don't know anything.
Of course not. And I'm just saying that.
I'm not suggesting that this teacher is this person, but right. let's really put it in perspective. let's say that she's got some weird thing that she likes to spank little kids. I mean, I don't want that. That's a line that I don't want crossed.
But that, but see, but then that kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier with the pictures and the videos on the internet, isn't it?
No, I wouldn't think so, because spanking is defined. That's slapping somebody in the ass.
Yes, but what I mean, I'm saying...
Somebody playing Nerf guns with their dad, well, no shirt on. I mean, what,
no,
I'm talking about comparable.
But it's the no shirt part, you know, posting that, and because of the possibility of somebody you don't want to see it, to see it. It's the same.
Oh, no, I'm not talking about the possibility. If you're going to put your hand on my child's rear end,
right,
there better be a good disciplinary reason. This is somebody doing it for a happy birthday reason.
Right, but you
were saying...
I think
that crosses every line.
Right, but you were saying that there could be that possibility of that person doing it for other reasons.
Oh, no, I understand that. Yeah. And that was the assumption that Carrie was making, my friend, maybe you were making.
Yeah,
what I'm telling you is, if the principal puts her hand on my child's butt, there is no gray area. She's putting her hand on my child's butt.
And if it was a paddle?
Out of fun, out of sex, out of perversion, mm-hmm, out of innocence, she's still, her hand is touching the butt. I mean, that's definable, right? I mean, right. I'm not saying somebody can see a three-year-old without a shirt and think that's innocent, that's nothing. Another person can think, wow, that's sexy, that's weird. Another person can say, wow, I really like three-year-old girls. So all sorts of things can happen. But with this, it's an adult human being that we're trusting with our children, putting her hand on our child's rear end. I mean, that's definable, right?
But you're assuming that it is a hand and not a paddle, right?
Well, I don't think she's bringing him in there to paddle him. That's not. I would think that would actually be punishment. Can you lightly and fun in a fun way paddle somebody's rear end? I guess.
I mean,
maybe I'm just too normal.
No, I don't think that's
your girlfriend has a child. I mean, would your girlfriend be okay with her son going in there and getting that done?
I don't know, but he might if he was going to get candy.
Again, the kid is going to probably not think anything of it. I agree with you.
I probably not.
This is an adult human being doing the act of spanking a child out of fun. That's not fun to me.
No, probably not, and I don't think I'd be okay with it either. I'm just telling you, like, I could see that happening in, like, smaller towns because that's probably, like, I don't know. Maybe it was a tradition somewhere else, and she was bringing that tradition from somewhere else.
Because they're all related? I mean, what are you saying? I don't know. I don't know. That could be, too. Yeah, you never know. Yeah. What's the big deal? So she's my nephew. All right. So Carrie, you're saying no with your kids.
Yeah.
Again, you got two boys.
Yeah. No.
And Paula, you're saying, well, it depends on who's thinking about it, and the kid won't care.
No, I'm still saying no. I was just saying that, I mean, it was funny how you were comparing this. And then I'm comparing it to...
Well, not. You're comparing it because I think it's two different things.
Okay, let me rephrase that. It was funny how you were saying about this, and then I'm comparing it to, like, the video thing. And to me, they're similar in that you don't know if the other person is getting something out of doing that. So why even...
What I'm saying is it doesn't matter.
Right.
On one case, you're looking at it. On the other case, it's a physical touching between an adult and a child that's not hers.
Right.
I think there's a difference there. Let me reverse that. Let's go there. Carrie, it's a male principal, and these are little girls having a birthday.
Mm-hmm. No, still no.
Does it change anything?
No. Still no for me.
Not only is it still no, I think anybody who thought it was okay now will say definitely no.
No, I think you're right. Yeah.
Paula, does it change it for you?
No, I mean, it's still something that shouldn't be done.
You were trying to argue that it was okay.
No, I wasn't saying it was okay. I was just saying that I could see how, like, the kids wouldn't think of it as a thing if they were getting candy and whatever. Like, they weren't thinking they were getting punished. That's what I was trying to say.
It's an interesting conversation. I wonder what people think about this. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. I do hear the comparison you're trying to make. I'm just saying one is visual, one is an actual physical touching. Out of good fun or not, I just don't think that you ever want to cross that line and take that chance.
But that goes both ways.
Because you never know.
But that goes both ways.
Because
of what you just said. You don't want to take that chance because of where it could go.
All I'm saying, and I know how smart you are, you're trying not to hear me, but let me just say it one more time because it's a little frustrating. One is you see Donald Trump Jr.'s daughter, who's three, playing Nerf guns with her dad. It's a video. The other one, you've got an adult that's not related to the child physically touching the child. I think that crosses a line. And as much as I don't disagree that some people would get the wrong thing out of looking at that video, and I actually told Carrie, I'd go from 100% sure of myself to 60 or 70% because I get the argument. This is somebody physically touching. Why ever do that? unless there's some sort of a punishment involved. And then, of course, I think the parent should be involved. This is a human being touching your child, and they're pretending it's out of good fun. I think that crosses a line where don't touch my kid. You know what I'm saying? One is looking at a picture, looking at a video. One is you're touching my kid. What? Does that not make sense?
No, it does. I'm not talking about who was in the video and what they were doing. I'm talking about the other people who are watching it, that you're just putting them at risk for that. I mean, even though I know technically nothing's going to happen to that child, but somebody else is going to, you know, have some sort of
I think the difference is I'm saying we're worrying about who might be seeing it. Well, in this case about the spanking, it's actually happening. They're actually touching and doing the action. We're worrying about what somebody might think when they see it. This one, I don't have to think. I know she's touching the kids' butts.
But in some
form or fashion.
Right, but you're also assuming that it was not with a paddle, that it was like with a hand.
Oh, even if it is, I mean, again, it's more egregious with the hand, but even if it is with the paddle, let's go there. It's still a physical touching of my child that I'm not okay with. And I think that's the difference for me. I get the comparison. I get the angle you're coming from, and I appreciate it. But this is what makes it different. One is we're worried what people might think when they look at it, and it could be good, better, and different reasons. The other one is there's a physical touching going on, and it shouldn't be. Before we go to break, Carrie, who ended the Vietnam War? Which president? Do you know? Top of your head?
Who? Johnson?
Polo, do you know?
Well, I know who thinks they did.
I know, but do you know who did it?
No, I don't.
Karina, do you know who ended the Vietnam War?
No, I have no idea.
It was Richard Nixon. When we come back, we're going to find out a former president who thinks he did it. And then for some reason, TMZ, the outlet that's interviewing him, tries to give a reason for why he's right. Paul, does the reason make sense to you?
Not really.
Because it's not like he said these reasons. They, like, made it up afterwards, which is weird to me. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Trial.
Updating you with the news that matters, coming up at the top of the hour on News Radio 1200 WOAI.
All right, glad to have you. Welcome. It is the Joe Pags Show, 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Carrie, we both got a little something on that last one.
I know, that was nice.
See, now you're talking. That's a smart way to go. Mm-hmm. Compliment us both. You get double the fun on Twitter.
Yeah, but you can just compliment
everybody likes a nice compliment. Oh,
cool. Sure they do.
Whatever. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Keith wanted me to tell you you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I didn't read any further in the email. He just said, tell Carrie she's wrong.
You don't want to explain
I completely agreed with him and then just moved on.
Okay, that's great. I appreciate that.
I don't feel like he didn't reply. Keith, I'll just reply to you on the air. You're right. She is. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. You tell you about Super Beats. You know, if you haven't checked your blood pressure lately, you need to. It's a good time because May is Blood Pressure Awareness Month. And with a new guideline from the American Heart Association, you're going to want to take another look at your numbers and do something that is great for your heart, like drinking Super Beats. Super Beats concentrates an essential nutrient found in heart-healthy beets, which have been clinically shown to have a beneficial effect on supporting healthy blood pressure levels. It's a small thing you can do to make a big difference, so call 800-516-8389 or go to joelovesbeets.com. All right, with your first order, get another 30-day supply of Super Beats free, plus indicator ships to see how it's working for you. And as a special offer during the month of May, you're going to receive a free bottle of D3 K2 Complex, a once-a-day dose of vitamins D3, NK2 that helps support strong bones and promotes healthy arteries, and a great tasting tablet, all with free shipping. Call 800-516-8389, 1-800-516-8389, or go online to joelovesbeats.com, joelovesbeats.com. Do it now. So, Carrie, do you know which former vice president said he invented the internet?
Al Gore.
Yeah, so his former boss thinks that he ended the Vietnam War.
How so? How would that be possible?
Well, Polo found this over on TMZ. The headline is Bill Clinton shades White House over dying McCain diss. Now, do you know who said this about John McCain? He'll be dead soon or whatever?
It was somebody, it was one of the White House assistants.
Kelly Sadler.
Yeah.
Is it somebody that we, this is not a known person, right? I haven't had this person on, have I?
I don't think so. This is the first time I've heard of her or seen her.
Yeah, I've never heard the name Kelly Sadler, so I don't know who that is. I'd be surprised if she laughs, but I mean, just a dumb thing to say. Yes. Well, I guess Bill Clinton was walking out of somewhere, and TMZ will jam a camera in front of your face. Former President Bill Clinton embraced John McCain in a big way, clearly throwing shade on the White House staffer who dismissed the Arizona senator as a guy whose opinion doesn't matter because he's dying anyway. We got Clinton leaving the Pierre Hotel in New York City Friday, and when our photog asked about the crass comment, you see him stop, turn, process his words, then speak. Clinton calls McCain a remarkable patriot, and Clinton says he couldn't have ended the Vietnam War if it were not for the famed prisoner of war. And now TMZ decides to now say why that's okay what he said.
And
as for Clinton, the story continues, as for Clinton saying he ended the Vietnam War, he's referring to getting a full accounting of MIAs during his presidency and ending the trade embargo. What? Why is it up to TMZ, some entertainment website, to correct him or give a reason why he's right when clearly he's absolutely 100% wrong? He didn't end the Vietnam War. Saying the words, I could not have ended the Vietnam War, just like spanking, is defined. I ended it. Okay, that means that you're saying you ended the war. Yes, he didn't. It was Richard Nixon. And TMZ, I guess, because they liked that he gave shade to the White House or something. Oh, this is why he said it. We know. Not that they, now, if you ask him, what do you mean you ended the war? I thought Richard Nixon did. Then let him explain. Now I'll listen. You can't just make it up yourself. That's weird. Good find, Polo. Listen to Bacardo. Bop! Dirty Pop. What's going on?
All right, so yesterday you and I talked about this off the air, but now it's catching more ground with it, I guess. R. Kelly was removed from Spotify's playlist. His music's still on there, but I guess they're not promoting his music like they were before because I guess they're saying that there's either hateful or hurtful stuff going on either in his music or in his life. Which he's never been charged with anything, but, you know, whatever. But now Apple Music and Pandora have also followed suit. So who knows what's going to happen with this? Because I don't know if there's going to be more and more, you know, artists that are going to.
But you can find it, but they're not going to advertise it.
Right. They're just not tied to anything anymore.
All right. The entire crew, have a great weekend. Happy Mother's Day to the mothers out there. We'll talk to you.